My lips touch you with their soft, wet kisses. Your hands gentle in reply.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me questions at bruce@bruceallen.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. And please like the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page and participate in Dad Chat, which is every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMenCoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMenCoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
It's a pleasure.
So we're talking about teens today, and that there can be hope when you're in a teen crisis as a parent. It does seem never-ending. And as you well know, we suffered a number of suicides in our respective communities in the past couple months. So that kind of crisis is pretty darn scary. And I would love to get your feedback on the general notion of raising teens, what to do when you're in a crisis, and any other thoughts you have in response to this topic.
If you don't have children yet, don't. Well, listen, crisis is crisis. It certainly affects us in different ways and deeper ways with our children. But I think no matter what's going on, it's really about how we're handling it. It's the work that we do is such an inside job. It's a very individual thing. And if we have come to a strong place in ourselves, we're in a much better position to handle the ups and downs of our kids' lives. And so I think the first place to start is just your individual work, because your issues, those unresolved issues, are going to come to play more and more, especially during those crisis points in teenage years.
Well, this is an area that you speak of often, that almost no matter what is going on in your life, that you might blame or look at from an outside perspective and think that it's your wife's fault or your boss or something external or the government. I know that you do that, but when you have teenagers and they're not listening to you and they're potentially doing drugs or drinking, okay, yes, you can look at what you may have done or how you've participated, but I'm actually not a believer that it is all within you and your work to help your kid through these crises. Yes, knowing where you come from and having a strong vision and clear nuts, to quote you, will help. But as I said in the beginning, there are good parents that do everything right who have kids that just turn out lousy, and lousy parents who have kids that turn out good. So when you're a good parent trying the best job you can, what do you do when things are going south?
Well, I don't know if I absolutely agree with you on this.
Well, what a shock.
I think certainly children, as they come to us, they're predisposed in various ways, and they have certain personalities.
There are bad seeds, Wayne.
Those things, I think those are very, very rare. And when you say bad seeds, I mean, there's mental illness. But I have seen, from my perspective, dealing with people who seem to have it all together, who seem to be fantastic parents, pillars of their community, but they didn't really do the job they needed to do with one or two of their kids.
Okay, give an example. I don't mean a specific name, but an example of what they didn't do.
Well, they perhaps were having real difficulties in their relationship for a certain number of years. And because of that, they were not paying attention to that particular child who needed something in particular, something different than maybe the first kid. And so because they were distracted with their own relationship problems, they weren't paying attention. And look, it's very difficult to sort of, this is not research, but what I've seen, there have always been real issues going on that explained why a particular child just did not get the best parenting they could have. It's very complicated, you know, because there are sibling rivalries, there are things going on in the kids' relationships at school. a lot of things are going on, and you know, as a parent, we have to be paying attention to our kids. When we're really paying attention to our kids, and we know where they're going, and we know who they're with, and we've got strict rules in the house, it's very difficult to miss what's going on.
I understand, and I agree to a degree. So we are only, as often as the case, partially agreeing, because I'm a living testament to missing something that was right under my nose with my son. You're somewhat aware of what went on. And I tend to think I was certainly present a lot. And some teenagers, most teenagers, are darn smart in covering up things they want to cover up. So I'm not 100% sure it's a lack of parenting. And, of course, in this case, I'm justifying my own ignorance of what was going on for a long time, though we caught it in time.
Yes. Well, look, most teens are very good at covering up what they want to cover up. But there's a big gap between doing that and having a serious problem. I mean, all kids, most kids, teenagers will lie to get what they want to do. My kids did. You know, they played around with this and that, and they had too much to drink one night and smoke this. But there's a big difference between doing that and sort of looking for those substances to solve a bigger problem. And I think that the bigger problem exists before the acting out exists. And I think that bigger problem oftentimes is a result of the kids just not getting what they need at home. And judging by the men I work with, the couples I've worked with, the families I've seen, it's an epidemic of families, dysfunctional families, not quite being available to give the kids all that they need.
Well, on that we're in agreement, and in that sense we are on the same page. I was having a discussion about exactly this sort of issue with someone recently. I attended the Dad 2.0 Summit in Austin, Texas recently, and so we were, you know, 72 hours of talking parenting. And one of the things that came up was the issue of the contemporary fact that many couples today that have kids are, of course, dual working families, and in many cases, they have to. And therefore, the parenting is relegated to shorter bursts of time. And I have often said that there's no such thing as quality time. There's only quantity time. And this becomes, I think this just makes the problem worse when you have two working parents who are tired, who don't have the time to be there for their kid. And in many cases, moms that or dads, for that matter, that stay at home with their kids tend to do it when the kids are young. And the irony is that when they're older is when the problems are more dangerous.
Well, the problems are more dangerous, but the lessons are taught early on. And, you know, listen, I wasn't at that conference, and I would probably have a different point of view than some of the things you heard. I think even if you're both working, life can be difficult. Life has been difficult for eons for people. It's just changed in terms of how difficult it is.
Yes, but the big change is the family change. The family structure has changed in a way in our lifetimes, Wayne, that has never happened in the history of mankind. The family structure change in the last 20 to 30 years is more dramatic than the previous 2000, in my opinion.
So I
think that is part of the problem.
External factors are real. But we're talking about what happens in each individual home. Forget about society as a whole. In your home, with your spouse, or if you don't have a spouse, with your children, what's happening in your home? And we can make a difference if we pay attention, if we get the help we need, to make sure that we are paying attention to our children, that we are making sure that we're not making it about us, that we're out of the way, and we're doing everything that they need, no matter how difficult it is. There have always been, look, how many single moms have raised wonderful kids working their asses off and doing it all alone? I just don't buy into that we're victims of the changes in culture. I just don't buy into it.
No, I'm not saying we're victims. I'm just saying that it is more challenging than it may have been in the past. And I just want to add that there's just as many, well, maybe not just as many, but there's a lot of single dads that have done a good job too.
Oh, you're so sensitive around that. I just made an example. Single parents.
Yes, I am sensitive on
that
one.
Listen, it's always been difficult for a lot of people. It's always been difficult for a lot of people. Things just change. And even in the best of times, it was very difficult for a lot of other people. And anyway, so listen, we need to do what's best for our kids. It's not easy. It's very, very challenging. And but listen, you had a kid. It's your responsibility to raise them as best you can, and you may have had no idea what you were in for, but it's your job to figure it out now.
Well, on that we totally agree.
Yeah, I know we do. I know we do.
You know, we're out of time, but one of the things I often say is the job of a parenting of a teenager is just to keep them alive. And if you've taught them the right values when they were younger, when they come out of that crazy teenage phase, those values might see them through, and it might see them through in certain choices along the way, too.
I think absolutely that's the truth.
Good. On that, I will say it's time for you to tell us where our listeners can reach you, and I got to turn off this segment.
Splendid. BettermanCoaching.com, and if you want to hear my weekly video wisdoms, go to the YouTube, and the channel is Better Mentor.
Excellent. Thank you, Wayne. Thanks, we will be back with Teen Rap and Pastor Drew Sams.